الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وأطيعوا الله والرسول لعلكم ترحمون. وقال تعالى: من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم. My respected friends and brothers, I ask you, you make dua for me. Allah Ta'ala grant me tawfiq that I can say that which is most beneficial for myself, that which is most beneficial for all of us. I also make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala opens my mind, opens my heart and inspires me to say that which is correct. The first thing, before anything else, one reason why I ask the lights to be put on is that normally when there's a darker environment around, then we tend to fall off to sleep. And after hearing what Maulana spoke about tahajjud, so some people might think we'll catch our sleep now already so that tahajjud will get done. So this is not the place for sleeping, inshallah. That will be at home. But here, inshallah, be awake. May Allah give us tawfiq. This is not my words I'm going to be speaking, but what I'm going to be passing on is the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So listen properly with the intention of practice, and inshallah, we will get definitely great benefit. Before starting, one other point also is that I remember about 19 years ago, I was a small boy of 10 years old, and I can clearly remember coming to this masjid. I can remember the wuzu khana, I can remember the masjid, I can remember the majma' at that time there. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab Damat Barakatuhum came here, and I was a small boy of 10 years old, and I joined Hazrat Maulana in this journey here. We had a very nice time here. I remember we slept the night also, most likely. We had meals here also. Allah reward the brothers. Everyone who has participated today, Jazakumullahu khairan for coming. May Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for all of us. Our hosts also, the imams also, Allah reward them very, very greatly. MashaAllah, our Hafizah also who read Quran, how beautiful he read. Allah grant us true love for Quran Sharif. The hadith which I wish to share with everyone is a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his most perfect and beautiful way, taught deen in the most loving manner. So one day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhu, like how he's sitting here today. He said, who will take from me? مَن يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Who will take from me just 5 points of advice, 5 lessons. You learn it from me. فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَن يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. And then he'll go and practice upon it. Or at least this much that he'll go and pass it on to others. Other people who will practice upon it. So before even starting, the first thing we need to learn from these words is that the objective of these bayans is, many times we lose focus, and because of that, these bayans become just, so to say, pastimes. There is sawab, sitting in the masjid, coming for a program, listening to some knowledge of deen. There is great reward. But the objective of learning and acquiring knowledge is this, that we have to go and take it, and then we have to practice upon it. And at least this much, if we're not practicing, that we pass it on to somebody else who'll practice upon it. So whatever we hear, we must try to retain. Remember, we might not remember everything, but some portion of it. And then practice also, and then go and pass it on. This is the objective of knowledge. It shouldn't be, and unfortunately this has become many of our habits, I speak for myself. So we go for a bayan, there's some bayan happening, some big sheikh, somebody has come. So we go to see, how is it? So we say, Maulana, so-and-so has come from so-and-so country. We say, I heard his bayan already. So hearing his bayan one time doesn't mean we got hidayah. Hearing his bayan one time, there was one bayan. How many other advices he got? But it shows our mindset. Our mindset is, I had to hear the good speaker. Once I heard him finished, story over. If I heard him, I heard how he speaks. So that's not the objective. The objective is to learn. The second thing that we learn from this year is that our deen is a very pure and pristine deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught this deen. He taught it when it came person to person. Our media that we have today, and all forms of modern technology, can bring some kind of information to us. But the true knowledge of deen is passed on heart to heart. These gatherings here today, we see, because of many other forms of media, that we're getting knowledge, information coming to us. So we find a great weakness when it comes to the a'mal of the masjid. When it comes to coming to the masjid for the bayan, somebody will say, I'll listen over the receiver at home. Somebody will say, don't worry, I'll send you the recording of the bayan. So all of this can bring us some good, some beneficial information. But Islam is passed on like this, heart to heart. That we have to go, we have to take out, make some mujahada and mehnat. We have to come sit in the masjid. We used to sitting on our chairs. I'm also sitting on a chair here. But we used to sitting on our chairs. Now we have to come to the masjid. We'll have to sit on the floor also. We used to a certain kind of comfort in our houses. We're not going to find that here. But with that little sacrifice, Islam was passed on like this. All forms of modern technology will not really bring the true essence of Islam into us. For that reason, today we find so much information on Islam. But how much practice? A person, a woman is at home. She says, all day I listen to radio. There's some kind of benefit, some Islamic radio, whatever she's listening to. But how much of Islam is coming into her life? The reason is because her environment is not conducive to what she's listening to. She's making an egg on one side. She's baking a cake on the other side. She's cleaning the house. She's looking after the children. And by the way, she's listening a little bit. That kind of knowledge is not going to have that impact that this kind of gathering is going to have. Because this gathering, we are focused. In this gathering, we have come with one mindset. In this gathering, we are in the masjid. Islam is passed on like this here. And this is something which we need to give great importance to. I speak regarding our own town, Heidelberg. I remember when we were young, there was a bayan in the masjid. The masjid from front to back used to be full. Years later, we look, when the speakers come, sometimes we feel shy. Alhamdulillah, today a very good response, Alhamdulillah. And so many brothers came from so many different places. But in Heidelberg, we call the speaker, we're feeling shy. That Morana came, he 1 hour, 2 hours drive he took. And he came here, and such a small response. Alhamdulillah, even if you speak to one person, and the person gets hidayah, definitely. But from our side, we're supposed to be thinking like that, how we can bring the most amount of people. So, this is very important for our deen. For ourselves, for our children, Islam will be passed on like this here. That we will have to go out of our environments to go and acquire deen. The child will have to go to the maktab to learn. The person, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, very famous incident of him, when one governor asked him, that will you teach my children? So he said, I'll teach anybody. So he said, okay, you must come to my house at a certain time, and if you come at so and so time, I will pay you so much money, you can teach my children. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah said, ilm, knowledge is not sold like that. Just because you are an important person, your children must come and sit with the poor children who are studying by me in the same lesson. That is how knowledge comes, with humility. So here also there has to be some mehnat, some effort. A person wants his son to become a hafid, he'll have to wake up early in the morning, bring his son to the masjid, let his son come for sabak. He'll have to make some effort at night, he'll have to listen to his son, then he'll become hafid. We want our children to remain Muslims, we have to bring them to the maktab. Otherwise it's not going to just work like that. If we want knowledge of deen, we will have to come to gatherings of knowledge. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will take these 5 advices from me? And they will practice upon it, and then they will practice upon it, or they will teach others who will practice upon it. So I ask here in the gathering, who is ready to take these 5 advices? She very, very soft, inshallah. Everyone say, inshallah. We all make the intention in our hearts. Inshallah, these 5 advices I'll take home to my family. Now it's holiday time, we'll be meeting many family members, we'll be going somewhere, wherever we go, I'll go and pass on this message here. It's not just to stay with us, but this is ilm. And ilm was meant, it was meant to practice and convey. So what beautiful advices Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. The first, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was sitting there. And he was a man who was dedicated to knowledge. He just wanted to learn more and more. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was the first man to say, oh Rasulullah, I'll take it from you. Meaning I'll learn it, I'll memorize it. And then I'll practice upon it and I'll teach others also who will practice upon it. Allahu Akbar, look at his intention today, we discussing it. His intention of learning, practicing and propagating. And Alhamdulillah, today we got this beautiful advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held him by the hand. And he said, count 5 things. Now, just on this here also, of the topic. But when we want to teach knowledge, deen, Islam, unfortunately one very sad reality is that when we teach Islam, deen, we sometimes show a very harsh and hard attitude. And Islam, Quran, deen is not spread like this here. Allah in Quran says, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Quran. That being who is excessively and extensively merciful, he is the being who has taught Quran. To learn and teach Quran, there is requirement for mercy and love. To teach deen, and in today's time, to a greater extent. Many of us might have been brought up in that era when hiding was the common thing. So we had to fit in. Somebody was just telling us now, he said, when I was at home, I was getting hiding, so when I used to go to madrasa also, I used to catch hiding. The era has changed. And today, we wish to teach somebody deen with harshness. That person will run away from deen. And I can tell you so many incidents in my mind, just flashing through right now. I can think of so many cases where this hard attitude, that we want to rule with the iron first, hey, go for salah. And what it has done to people. I'll just share one thing. One alim came many years ago, Murana Riyadul Haq. From England he came. And he gave a bayan in Khanka, Sheikh Zakaria in Lens. So his bayan, he said, I have chosen the topic of love. He said, let me tell you why I chose this topic. He said, in England, some youngsters, they came to me after Salah. And they said, Sheikh, one friend of ours is here. Listen to what happened to him. He said, what happened? He said, this youngster was brought up in a Muslim household. Normal, what you'll say, a normal Muslim household. There was some aspect of Islam in their life, some aspects not in their life. But this boy always felt that my parents teach me Islam with too much harshness. You never perform Salah, I'll give you a hiding. You better learn your madrasa work. Now, this boy, one hatred was created in his heart for this year. And he was always looking for some way out. He was to get out of this kind of life. So his father couldn't understand what his thinking was. And when this boy would then rebel, the father would become more angry. And because of this, there was a war in the home. One day, some friends from his school, and that is another whole subject altogether, that what schools are doing, what they have done to our children, and unfortunately, the dangers which we find in today's, in the common schools, how much kufr, shirk is being taught, how many children are losing their iman on the basis of evolution, the theory of evolution. And good people, hafiz of Quran, but he doesn't know he's not Muslim. I was telling my cousin today, there was an incident, one youngster in Azadwar. My brother gave him a book regarding atheism. He said, just check it for me. This boy came back with a response. Two things he replied. It's a big response, I read the whole thing. One thing he said, and this boy is supposed to be a very intellectual boy and from a very deeny family, very pious family. He gave a whole written response. What was written? The hafiz of Quran, this boy is. One thing he wrote there, he said, science is facts and Quran is ethics. It comes to teach us akhlaq. So if the Quran goes against facts, then the Quran must be interpreted in those aspects it goes against facts. Meaning, science must rule over Quran. When Quran is wrong, it's giving wrong facts, then give it some other interpretation, but science can't be wrong. This is this boy's words. Second thing he said that where does Islam say there's no room for the theory of evolution? You can believe in Allah and also believe in evolution. So my brother met him, my brother said, but doesn't it come in Quran? Allah says, we created Adam with our hands. Allah says, Adam was the one who we created mankind from. We created mankind from one soul, man and woman. Doesn't Allah speak so much in the Quran about Adam alayhi salam? So what about that? The boy is supposed to be so intellectual. Half years of Quran, he said, I never thought about it. What it was, indoctrination in the schools. So anyway, this boy here was going to one school, and his Christian friends knew of his problems at home. So they told him, there is a jamaat here. A jamaat of Christian missionaries, they're working in the area. Why you don't come with us to meet them? Good people, nice people. So first he was a bit hesitant, and he said, no, man, just join us. Man, don't worry, it won't change your beliefs in the least. But so they took him. This boy met this group of people, and their only talk is, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. The whole deen is based on that. In actual fact, it's a very, what you will say, a hollow deen. Because there is no belief system, there is no amal system, there is no amal in their lives. There is nothing which teaches them how to worship Allah, nothing which teaches them how to have akhlaq, nothing which teaches them how to do business, nothing which teaches them how to live with their wives. But it's just this one catch slogan, Jesus loves you. He said, I only heard love. So this boy is telling Morana outside the masjid his whole story. He said, I only heard love, 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 love. So I embraced Christianity. I left my parents, I left my home, I left everything. So 1 year I have embraced Christianity, now I'm with the Christians. So Maulana got happy, alhamdulillah, he realized, mashallah, you realized that he's finally, you came back. He said, no, no, Shaykh, I never come for that. I came to tell you that your salvation is in believing in Jesus. He came to Maulana to tell him, you on batil, you must accept Christianity, then only you're going to be saved. That boy, what was the beginning? It was harshness. Teach deen with love. When anything is taught with love, we will find enthusiasm to do it. When we teach deen with harshness, we show a harsh attitude with regards to deen. Everything is just, it's just by the book. This, that. And when our lives have no love of Allah, this is one thing which we are lacking very greatly. There is no love of Allah in our life. So what spurs a person on to performing salah? So we just now, we're going through the motions. I just have to go to the masjid. I just have to do this here. It's fard, I have to do it. Compare the relationship of a husband and wife. One husband and wife got married. They love one another to bits. If the husband just, if he just says, he tells his wife, I like something to drink, she'll bring five things for him. And compare it to that relationship where a husband and wife are just living together. They say, for the children's sake, what can we do? I wouldn't like to stay in this marriage. I wish I can get out. That man is on his cell phone with 10 other women. That woman is on her cell phone with 10 other men. Look at the relationship between the two. Both of them are married. But is there any connection between the two? One will say he's married, but he's not married. The other one will say he is living a life of marriage. We all, we connected to Allah, but what's our connection? Do we feel that love for Allah? May Allah forgive me. You know, don't make it just words coming out from our tongue. Allah, make it reality. When we come into the masjid, are we excited? I'm going to meet my Allah. Or is it that, you know, even if we're doing that, alhamdulillah. Even if we're just pushing ourselves and dragging ourselves, that's also very great in the sight of Allah. Our reward will be very great. Allah will reward us. But look at the relationship. One man finds it difficult, the other man finds it a pleasure. One man, when he has to take out his zakat, he says, so much. Another man, he can't wait to give sadaqah. He says, you know, so nobody came to my house today, I have to go look for somebody I can give them. My father-in-law went to Japan for some business work many years ago. So he came back, one of his experiences, he said, that's not a nice country to live in. There's no beggars. I couldn't find anyone to give sadaqah. Now look at how when a person is thinking like that, and another man is saying, these beggars, man, they just keep on troubling us. What a world of difference between the two. Learn deen with love. Teach deen with love. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam held his hand. He said, just take these five words from me. I'll teach you five things, five advices. We, all of us, in our houses, with our children, with our wives, everywhere, we're finding a problem. The women are complaining, he just tells me this, and he just tells me that. The husbands are complaining, my wife, she just speaks to me anyhow. Children are complaining about the parents. Parents are complaining, no respect. All that's required is that we have to have an environment of Allah's love. And we have to teach deen with the utmost love. And we have to teach one another what is Allah's love. Then deen will become enjoyable. Because we're just starting now the discussion. The first point Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught him. He said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. I hope everyone is counting. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu counted. Point number one. Abstain from sins. You will be the person who worships Allah the most. Now somebody will wonder, how is that? Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, he said a person starts Salah. He starts from after Isha and he continues his Ibadah till the time of Tahajjud. So he has done so much. But then his breakfast he's having on the kitchen table, he is sitting here, his sister-in-law is sitting there, they're having a nice chuckle with one another. And whole night of Ibadah. But look that guna, that sin that came in the ending. Whole night he made Dhikrullah, he made Ibadah. But the next day, as the evening came, he decided he needs to watch his soap opera. Now he needs to see what days of our lives and all of this funny things. Now he's looking at that, there's a haram woman there. Filthy scenes there. He's taking enjoyment also, although he won't tell himself. He said, no, I don't get no enjoyment from this. And that's what nafs does to us. It makes us think, no, man, these things are not appealing to us. But in actual fact, we're taking enjoyment out of it. Now he watched that whole video. 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it was. He thought I achieved something. I became hafiz of Quran. I am Morana so and so. But late at night, he's looking at filthy pictures on his phone. And we know the realities. And it's happening everywhere. From people who are 60, 70, 80 years old, to young children who are 5, 6 years old. It's across the board. Where, on the one side, so pious, hafiz sahab, Morana, big beard, wearing imama on his head. On the other side, what guna has been involved. The example of this is to say, the example of this is that somebody is taking the top vitamins. He's went to a health specialist And this man is giving him, a dietitian is telling him, this is your diet, you have to take this, take this. You'll see how your health will improve. But along with that, every now and then, he's just taking one or two tots of poison. Will his health ever improve? Or take another example, a person has 200 liters of Zamzam water. And then he takes one drop of urine and adds it to it. What happens? What happens? That one drop of urine spoils the full 200 liters. And this is what is happening in our life. Alhamdulillah, to a certain extent, we who are here, we have certain a'mal in our life. But when it comes to sin, then we find ourselves very weak. When it comes to keeping an Islamic appearance, when it comes to television, when it comes to ghibat, which is an epidemic within us. To just discuss that person, discuss that person. Allah remove it. May Allah make our lives such that nobody's names come on our tongues. We don't speak about other people, ghibat. Then when it comes to interest insurance, when it comes to all of these things here, suddenly we find ourselves, when it comes to bad nazri, looking at women who are walking in front. Looking at that woman, there's two ways you can do business. People say, you know, we are businessmen, we have to speak to the lady. We don't say don't speak. But you can look down and speak to her. That's not difficult. But we say, no, you have to make eye contact. Who taught us you have to make eye contact? Shaitan taught us. You have to make eye contact to get the deal done. No, there's no need for that. We can look down and we can still get the deal done. And they will respect us. I went to one shop one day. So the lady, she put some money out. White lady, she put some money out to give me the change. So I said, please put it on the counter. So some people feel very hurt. That how can you tell us? So I said, no, see, I don't wish to offend you in any way. But as a Muslim, I wouldn't touch any woman's hands. My hands are solely for my wife. And this is my Allah's command. Something like this, I told her. So she said, I really respect people like you. She told me like this. Yes, really, we got nothing. Just that I'm just telling her, put the money down. But she said, I really respect you. You show respect to us, we'll show respect back to you. This year, just this. And what sometimes seems so difficult for us is in actual fact so simple. So easy to achieve. Just to put our gaze down. But that test, just to give up television. Just to say, no man, I know there's too much haram on you. Just remove it from my house. But it's that test which we find the most difficult. As a Muslim, if we want to be worshippers of Allah, sometimes we'll do these small actions. Allah is that employer. There's no employer in the world like Allah. Some employer tells you, come here to the business. You sit and don't do any work. You just don't do work and I'll pay you top wages. Allah tells us, you come, you just don't do work. What work we mustn't do? Guna, sin. Don't do this work here, I'll pay you top wages. You will get wages better than that person who's making tahajjud whole night also. You will get wages better than that person who's reading 10 paras Quran also. What you need to do, what you need to achieve, give up sin. And one of the biggest challenges we find in giving up sin is this, is that sin has become dear to us. And we take pleasure and enjoyment out of sin. There was one incident I read and I'll share it. I love to share this incident because it fits in with my life so well. I read this incident, one girl, her name was Fatima. And she went with her mother one day to the store. And she saw a lovely pearl necklace. She said, Mommy, I want this necklace, I want this necklace. So Mommy said, Fatima, you don't get things just like that. This is how you make tarbiyat, you teach a child. Child has to learn values. You have to learn to value things. So Mommy said, you can't just get it like that. You'll have to work for it. Isn't it at home you got some money saved up? And I think next week your daddy promised you she's going to give you some money. And if you clean the garden for me, I'll give you so much money. And if you clean the garden for the neighbor, she'll give you so much. Put all that money together, you'll get 30 rands. With that 30 rands, you can come and buy it. So what she did, she went ahead, she did the work. She got all the money together, and she went with her mother to buy her pearl necklace, a toy pearl necklace. And she was so excited about it. She put it on her neck, she's showing everyone, see my pearl necklace. She doesn't want to take it off her neck. So the mother also, she's saying, Fatima, you have to take it out, you're going to a bath. When you go to a bath, if you're not going to take it out, what's going to happen? All of this color which is on top of it will fade away. Then you will see just turquoise, blue it is in the back. But here it looks like a pearl necklace, silvery pearls. So only for bathing she used to take it out. All the rest of the day Fatima keeps this necklace on. So the mother said, just before I'll come back to Fatima's incident, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention, he used to say that, see, sins are enjoyable. Sins are enjoyable. But what kind of enjoyment it brings. He said, when they were studying in the Tibbiya College in Allahabad, so he had a friend. So this friend here also studied. Many years later, he told him, you know, let me tell you one story of our college days. He said, one time, I brought from home a big container of a certain halwa, a certain sweet meat. So in Pakistan, India, one common practice is that these halwas, these sweet meats, what they do is that they put milk inside. They make small pieces out of it, put milk inside. It's very sweet. It's made from sugar, ghee, butter, sugar, butter, and nuts. So very high, very, very tasty also, very nice also, a lot of nuts inside also. So we tasted many of these things there. So they put milk inside and they have this like a cereal. So he said, my mother gave me a whole big container and she told me the whole term you can have this for your breakfast. She said, I was very happy. I went back college, I opened my locker. All my friends saw, hey, this guy, he brought nice stocks to madrasa. He's going to enjoy himself. So let's see now. When he went out of the room, his friends broke his lock. They took that big container out and they all distributed it amongst themselves. Everyone enjoyed. They had a nice meal that day. And when he came back the next day, he opened his locker. He saw, hey, all my halwa which I brought from home, everything is finished. So he thought, okay, I'll show them a lesson. I'll teach these guys a lesson. He went to a very famous mithai shop which is in that area. And he bought what we call gulab jamun. Now those who know what gulab jamun is, if somebody doesn't know, it's like a one kind of long donut. And he bought so many, very sweet, full of syrup. And he was studying medicine. So with his syringe, he injected into every one of them Jamal Gota. Now those who know Jamal Gota, this is a very heavy laxative. Sometimes people give it to animals also. He injected in every one of them. And now he thought, okay, I'll show them. Now he took it, he went, made a big scene and he went to the room. Yesterday somebody stole my halwa. I'll show them now. I bought a proper lock. Nobody will be able to open this lock here. And he went, he put it inside the locker, he put the lock. And all his friends said, oh, he thinks he's clever. Come, we'll show him. So as he went out, they cut the lock. And they went, they took and they distributed it amongst themselves. They made sure they finished every bit of it. And 2-3 minutes later, one man's stomach is paining. He runs to the toilet. Next man, his stomach is paining. He runs. Third man, there's no toilets in this place here. He has to run to the other boardings. Now the person in charge, the inspector of the boardings, he got worried. He called a doctor. He said, I need you to come and give these people injections. Because it seems like a virus is going around here. So you need to come and vaccinate all of these people here. He said, they all got their injections. And I sat on my bed and I laughed. So he said, this is what Shaitan does. He gives us something which is sweet and enjoyable. Sin is pleasurable. We find some enjoyment. We listen to music. We watch the small sports match. We watch the movie. All of these things here we find. We looked at a woman. Some haram picture came. We looked at it. We looked at the newspaper. We saw all of that filth which was there. So we got some enjoyment. Not to say ghibat. Ghibat brings enjoyment. That's why people like to do it. But behind that enjoyment, there is poison hidden inside. If somebody could tell us that, you know, in every sin that you are doing, you are actually poisoning your heart. Ask the people of the world, that man who obeyed Allah, did he ever commit suicide? Who commits suicide? The people who are on drugs. People who have went through the biggest sins. They did whatever they desired to do. They committing suicide. They got so much money. They got so much enjoyments and luxuries. They committing. And the people in the poor countries, what you say, third world countries, they're not committing suicide. Much less amongst them. And those people who got some connection with Allah and who have given up sins, you won't see suicide at all. Why is that? Suicide is committed by that person who is miserable in life. Where does misery come from? It comes from sins. Now all of these haram functions, Allah protect us all, Allah protect us. My daughter is getting married. My daughter's getting married. Remember, in Islam, there is nothing like a wedding. There's no existence of it. There is no function for my daughter at all. Islam has taught us this. There is sunnah of walima. Walima means my son has gotten married. He got married yesterday or last week. Rukhsati has taken place. Now walima will be fed. People will be called. Come and partake of this meal. There is no question of a wedding. A wedding, this reception which has become a common habit. We learn from the Christians. May Allah give tawfiq to all of us. And may Allah strengthen our hearts that we can become that father who will say, I'll go against the tide of the time. And I will do that which will make my Allah happy. And I know my Allah will put barakat in this marriage. So today in our functions, and this we're just speaking about the function itself, how much haram men and women are mixing, intermingling. And in our homes also, and what we call family parda. She's my sister-in-law, she's my cousin, she's my thus. So suddenly, everyone free for all. And here again, I can tell you so much things which are coming to my mind now, but unfortunately, we don't have the time. There is pleasure in it. I don't say there's no pleasure. That's why people want to do it. But that pleasure has poison inside. That same marriage crashed, it went on the rocks. Somebody will ask, why it happened? You say, what happened? All that haram which happened at the wedding function, that's why. That was the reason. Allah was watching. Hazrat Mawdu Hamid Sahib sometimes says, he says, that when we have weddings, we have so much desire to make everyone happy. But only Allah and His Rasul make them unhappy. This cousin, that person invited me, that person. But Allah, in whose control is the whole wedding. That marriage won't last without Allah's help. That Allah we made displeased. So here in all of this, there is poison inside. So what I was telling you about Fatima. Fatima had this lovely necklace and she was so proud of it, going everywhere. So one day her father came home. And he said, Fatima, you love me. She said, Daddy, of course I love you. So he said, Fatima, if you love me, give me your necklace. She said, Daddy, I love you, but you won't take my favorite dollhouse. I'll give you that day. I'll give it. I love you. But Daddy, take my favorite dollhouse. You know, I love it so much. You can take that day. So he said, no, don't worry, Fatima, don't worry. And he went away. A few days later, he came. He said, Fatima, you love me? She said, of course, Daddy, I love you. He said, if you love me, give me your necklace. She said, Daddy, you know, my favorite toy, you can take that day for yourself. My favorite toy, you know, I love it so much that you can take. So Daddy said, no, don't worry, don't worry about it. A few days later, he came home. Fatima was sitting, she was looking very sad, tears in her eyes. So Daddy said, what happened? So Fatima came, she couldn't say any words also, she sat in her father's lap. And then, she took out her necklace. She said, Daddy, I love you more than I love the necklace. Allah give us tawfiq, we can also understand. She said, Daddy, I love you more than I love the necklace. So the father took it in one hand, and then with the other hand, he put his hand in his pocket, and he took out a genuine pearl necklace. This is worth 30 rand, that's worth 30,000 rand. He said, Fatima, I had this for so many days in my pocket. I was just waiting to see when you can sacrifice for my love. And then I was going to give you real, genuine pleasure and enjoyment. Allah also waits to see. We all living in fake worlds. We say, I'm happy, but really are we happy? But if we want to live in a genuine world of pleasure and happiness, five ways of achieving happiness, this is number one. If we want to achieve happiness in life, then we will have to show Allah, Allah, I love you more. The day we can say, oh Allah, I love so much this sin. But oh Allah, I love you more than this sin. That cell phone which we love so much, but we know is taking us so much to haram. The day we can say, oh Allah, I love the cell phone, but I love you more. I love the television, I want to watch movies and I want to watch sports. But oh Allah, you more beloved to me. The day we can make one change in our life. And we all know our weaknesses and our faults. That day there, Allah will give us real pleasure. Allah sees. And just like that girl, she also tears came out from her eyes. If we have to cry also, no problem. Cry also. But say, oh Allah, I love you more than that. I won't disobey you. Even if I have to go through pain, you will see what Allah will give in return. Allah is not such that we deal with Allah on cash and Allah will give us credit. In akhirat, Allah will definitely give. But here in this world already, Allah will start giving. First point, this is, may Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. This is one big challenge and barrier in our life. We're finding we're not going towards Allah, it's this year. Sins are stopping us. The sins have ruined our hearts. And all we need to do, very simple, very simple. Here in this gathering, all of us now in our hearts, just make tawbah and oh Allah, I promise I won't disobey you ever again. Oh Allah, I love you more than I love all the pleasures of the world. Even if the whole world has to come against me, but I'll make you happy. I'm not worried about the rest of the world. Make tawbah, ask Allah. And if we fall again, then make tawbah again. But do something about it. We have this habit, we say, hey Allah, forgive us. But then we don't really go ahead. We have to make make objectives in our life, priorities in our life. And we have to make goals in our life. Set goals. I need to achieve this. By the end of this year, I must achieve it. Today I'm going to go home, I'm going to make one change. Next time I hear something which affects my heart, I'll make another change. Ramadan will come, I'll make one change. Make these changes here. And we will see how we will soar, we will fly to Allah. And then, genuine pleasure, Allah. First point. Abstain from sins, you will become the greatest worshipper of Allah. Second point. وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَ النَّاسِ. Be happy with what Allah has decreed for you. You will be the richest man. Riches is not in having millions. Riches is in having contentment. A person who is content even with little, but he's a rich man. One person came to one very great wali of Allah, most likely it was Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He said, I brought some money to give you as a hadiyah. So he said, why are you giving it to me? He said, no, I see you going through difficult times also. I feel you can use this money. I see you suffering some poverty. So he said, okay, tell me, is this all your money? He said, no, this is not all. I got more. He said, okay, with all of that money that you have, do you want more money? He said, yeah, I would like more money, of course. That's why normally sometimes we give hadiyah with that intention also. Maybe I'll give hadiyah to one morana, maybe he'll make dua for barakah, then my business will expand. I'm not asking for hadiyah. Anyone brings hadiyah, I won't accept it. I'm just giving an example. But, so sometimes this, we think like this here. So he said, do you want more? He said, yes, I want more. So he said, in that case, take your money back because you're more poor than me. I don't want 1 cent more. I'm happy with whatever Allah has given me. You are still desiring more. That means you are a pauper. You have nothing. There was a king. One day he was looking from his palace window. And as he's looking out, he's seeing one man. He's a normal worker, normal handyman. And he's walking on the street and he's so happy and he's whistling to himself also and he's smiling. He's coming home also. He's assalamu alaikum and he's salam nicely. So the king called his wazir. He said, what's the problem with this man? The wazir said, why, what problem you got? He said, why is he so happy? So the wazir said, why? You don't want him to be happy. He said, call him here. So the man was called. So he came to the king. The king said, what's your problem? Why are you so happy? So he said, why I mustn't be happy? I got a shelter over my head. I got a beautiful wife. Alhamdulillah, I got lovely children. Allah has given me. And every day I get to earn a few rands I earn. I go and buy some bread for home and we can eat. Alhamdulillah, I'm living. I have shelter over my head. I have a family. I got no needs further than this here. So the king was shocked now. He said, well, I have got the same things. Why I'm not happy? So when this man went out, his wazir came to him. He said, king, I can understand what your question is. And I got the answer also. He said, what's the answer? He said, you see, this man here, he hasn't joined Club 99. He said, Club 99, what's that? So he said, come, I'll show you. But first, I need 99 gold coins from you. So the king gave him 99 gold coins. The king is watching from his window. What the wazir did, he took this 99 gold coins and went and left it by the man's doorstep. That, the next evening, now when the man came home, he found 99 gold coins. So he found a big bag of gold coins, wondering where it came from. He's looking here, looking there. Is somebody playing a fool with me? He went inside the house. He asked his wife, so much money, who gave? His wife said, I have no idea. He's excited also. So he went inside the house. He started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Put it one stack. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Maybe I never counted right. He started counting again. Second count, 99. Third count, told his wife, hey, come here, come count. She counted 99. He said, hey, there's a problem. I think somebody stole that one coin. Now already his mood was spoiled. He never had anything yesterday. Now he got 99. But his whole mood is spoiled. Next morning now he thinks to himself, you know what I need to do? I need to get one more gold coin to make it 100. So now he went to work. He's not going to make one gold coin in one day. He has so much effort to make. He's expecting now, I hope I get a lot of customers today. He doesn't get those customers. He came home, he's shouting, he's angry with his wife. He said, you know, you don't help me at all. I'm doing so much work outside. Today I had to work overtime also. I need to get this one gold coin. You're not even doing anything. You are a liability. You're not a help. You're just sitting here at home. Now big fights are happening in the house. The man came to the king. He said, see, he joined Club 99 now. We all in this Club 99, we all stuck there. That, hey, you know, I got 99, I need 100. I got one house, I need 2 houses. I have one property, I need 2 properties. I have one business, I need 2 businesses. I have so much in my bank account, I need double of that day. And our whole life is encircled by this. When we learn priorities in life, you'll understand that making money is not haram. But it's not the object of my life. It's secondary in my life. Just yesterday I was reading about Maulana Yunus Patel. I would love to explain to you all, but I can't. He said on one occasion he had to sit in the business of his father-in-law. And he said in that period of time, he said, I would close at 12:30. I would open 30 minutes after Zohar, 1:30. He said, on Jumu'ah, I would give an extra long break. On Saturdays, which is the most busiest day, I used to give extra time. I used to close early because Zohar Salah. People, when I came back, when my father-in-law came back from Hajj, the people said the shop was closed more than it was open. They told the father-in-law. We don't know how much loss this man must have incurred to you. He said, when I went in the business, all the haram things, I quickly took it out. Anything which was doubtful, I gave it away. What wasn't doubtful, I got rid of it. What was haram, absolutely haram. He said, when poor people used to come to my business, I used to give them. I used to see this man can't afford the full amount. Okay, don't worry. Whatever you got, just pay it and I'll give you the full goods. He said, some of them, I used to take the money from them, give them the goods and give the money back also. He said, those people used to be so excited. They used to go, used to call their friends. He said, when my father-in-law came, he was worried. I told him, no, don't worry, rest. I'll show you the books. He said, when I brought the books after 4 months, my father-in-law was gone for Hajj. There was a 30% increase in the profits of this business. 30%. On what? He said, Allah allowed me to show this to the world. That what we're saying is not just words, but practically we implemented it also and we saw the results. Make our whole life center around salah. Don't make our life center around food and business. Make our whole life center around our tilawat of Quran. What we have to do, we have to do. I'm not saying don't do business. I'm not saying cut your times. I'm saying Allah is most important. And when you will be content with what Allah has given you, you will see how much happiness Allah will bless you with in your life. Thus, when contentment is lost, then at that time there a person feels like, hey, what am I living in this world for? And we all say we're running a rat race. And so amazing our condition now, holiday time, is that a person earns for the whole year. So much effort he makes. All his money, where he puts it into two places. Either he saves it, or he puts it into his house. Why? To make my house comfortable. How much time we spend in the house? We only spend sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday. Then also we're running away. Somebody's going to Durban, somebody's going here. And then, besides the day, when we spend in the house, we spend the nights in the house. We just go there to sleep, have supper, and we're out again. So much money we put in our houses. And when holiday time comes, when we're supposed to be resting, then where we are? We out camping somewhere, then after we'll come back, we say, you know what, the mosquitoes got into the tent and they were biting me so much I couldn't sleep the whole night. And you know, the gas stove wasn't working, so I had to have cold baked beans. So all that money we earned was to go and have cold baked beans, to get bitten by mosquitoes. This holiday, it has become a trend now, that we love for our holidays. A Muslim doesn't love for holidays. In actual fact, Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is there any kind of holiday making in Islam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, the holiday making of my ummah is when they will travel out in the path of Allah, al-jihadu fi sabilillah. That's our holiday. Where we need to go, that's where we need to go. But unfortunately, living in the West, we've become so caught up, and we're all living in this year. We've become so caught up with this lifestyle, that for that holiday, which is that with the place where we're going, might be 2-star compared to our houses, which is 10-star. But we're going there and we're proud. You know, I went to this hotel, and I went to that place there. I couldn't even have a shower with hot water. Why? Because there was no hot water in that place. And there was water shortages in that area that they cut the water. And that kettle wasn't working. So I had to go downstairs to the cafeteria to go and get a little bit of hot water for myself just to make a cup of tea. All that we go through for what? To get some kind, really, may Allah not make it such. But it has become such that it's just now a status thing. But you know, I went there, and we're very, very happy about our holiday. I'm not saying that a person shouldn't spend time with his family or shouldn't sometimes have some recreation. But I'm saying to make this an object of our life. That from one holiday we're preparing for the next. And this will inshallah come under the last point. That we haven't been created for entertainment. We've been created for Allah's worship. So what we were speaking about is that so much effort we are making. And where all of it is being channeled into our houses or into our holiday. Be happy with what Allah has apportioned us with. We'll be the richest of people. And for this year, one thing we need to do, we need to change our company. Start mixing with people who are of a lower social standing than us. We all feel that I need to be with people who are similar minded. But when we are with people who are similar minded, then we have to live up to that lifestyle also. Start mixing with the poor. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day said to Aisha radiallahu anha, and what a frightening thing. He said, oh Aisha, if you want to be with me on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah, then do three things, three advices he gave her. This Allah put in my heart now, I'm just sharing it with everyone. He said, first thing, don't ever start wearing new clothes until the old clothes have been patched already. We today, if we have to look into our cupboards, there might be clothes which we haven't worn for how many months on end. There might be so many things in our houses which we haven't used for years, but we're just keeping, just stocking. Give in sadaqah, open our hearts and spin. Allah will give Lord back. So this is one thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't change, wear new clothes till you haven't patched your old clothes and worn it. Till it's finished. Or unless you want to give it in sadaqah. But we try that we patch our clothes. Second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and love to sit with the poor. Love to sit with the poor. So these were two things. The third thing, just slipped my mind now. If Allah gives tawfiq, inshallah, if I remember, I will share it with everyone. But these two things, and what an advice. To love, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would feel, we supposed to be like this here. When we come to be with people of high standing, we supposed to feel a little bit uncomfortable. We go to their house, you know what? This is not familiar surroundings. And when we're with the poor, we're supposed to feel happy. But unfortunately, today is the opposite way around. Today, we all want to be with people in higher class compared to us. You say, hey, you connected with that man. You say, yeah, me, I got contacts. I go visit him in his house. But every time you go visit him in his house, Then when you come home, your wife says, hey, you know what, I need another thing for the kitchen. You know, I saw this in those people's house. I saw that in their house. Where is it coming from? It's because we associating with such people. I'm not saying we shouldn't mix with such people, shouldn't meet with them. I am saying always try to look at those who are of a lower social standing than us. And mix with those people as well. We will see how our hearts soften and how we will make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ. It's very likely after this year you will start appreciating Allah's ni'mats on you. Then we will get this quality of shukr. See, oh Allah, you're so kind. One man said, one very great wali of Allah from the tabi'een or tabu tabi'een, he said, I always understood myself to be in the worst condition till I moved. He said, when I moved into a poorer area, he said, then I understood how many favors Allah had blessed me with. He said, when my friends became poorer people, Allah is so kind to me. When I was living with the Joneses, then I was thinking like them also. He said, that time I always thought, hey, I got so little bit. When I went to those who were of a lower standing, I saw how much Allah has blessed me. We all in this year learn this quality of appreciation. Generally, we speak to businessmen. So there's two ways of a response. You say, how is business? You say, hey, Maulana, business is very bad. But mashallah, you went for holiday. Mashallah, you bought so much. You bought a new house. You got a new business. Hey, Maulana, business, things are bad. I'm not saying the business is not tough. There is difficulty. We agree. We understand. And another way is, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me a roof over my head. Alhamdulillah, every day, not one day I can remember I starved. Now what a world of difference between the two. And a man who is going through difficulty, sometimes we see him. The man got nothing, he is really suffering. But you ask him how, he said, hey, what can I tell you, man? Allah is being so kind to me, how I'm enjoying life. Why? He just got qanaat. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barikli fi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. Oh Allah, make me content with whatever you have blessed me with. And give me barakat in whatever you bless me with. If there's barakat, all our work will get done. And وَخْلُفْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ غَائِبَةٍ لِي بِخَيْرٍ. Oh Allah, everything which you keep away from me, give me something better in replacement. Sometimes I was thinking that business, you know, if I could buy that business. And I went, I made the offer and they rejected it. I thought that house will be the most ideal house. But then I went, they told me, yeah, sorry, it's sold out already. Or I decided not to sell. So we think, hey, so sad. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, you give me in replacement for everything that you've kept away from me, something better than that. And that is our whole life. Sometimes Allah keeps away some ni'mat of the world from us. But in replacement, Allah gives us 2 rakat salah. That 2 rakat salah, that worldly benefit of 1 million riyals can't compare with the 2 rakat salah. Allah gave us one day, we just lifted up our hands and we felt connection with Allah. We asked for our needs. Ramadan came and one day we were just connected. Our tarawih, we were just crying. Where it came from? Allah deprived us of one worldly bounty. And Allah gave us this year. There is something which I wish to say, but unfortunately, there was khair, inshallah, on another occasion. The third advice, third thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِكْ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنَا. Be good to your neighbor. Be good to your neighbor. Takun muslima. You will be a real Muslim. If we claim to be Muslims, then the first step in being a Muslim is that we have to be good to our neighbors. Muslim and non-Muslim. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he used to slaughter an animal, first thing before eating also, he used to say, make a parcel, send it for my Jewish neighbor. He is my neighbor. Remember, he got a right over. Our neighbors, they have a very great right over us. But unfortunately today, in the kind of world that we are living, so busy with our cell phones, that we don't have time to even peep over. We're looking at the whole world. We ask somebody, oh, what's happening in politics? You'll tell him, he'll tell you, this is happening in Burma, this is happening in Syria, this is happening in Europe, this is happening in America. We say, what's happening in your neighbor's house? You say, I haven't spoken to him for the last 6 months. This is how our lives have become. So be good to our neighbors. Ahsin ila jarik. And here what we are asked, not just to fulfill his rights, but to make ihsan on him. Even if he is bad to us, be good to him. Even if he causes us taklif, just overlook that taklif and difficulty. Make sure we always ask if there is any difficulty which he is going through. Make sure we always asking how's things at home. Make sure every now and then we visit him. If we see he is not there, find out why he is not there. If we see he's been absent for a few days from the masjid, find out why he's not in the masjid. Our neighbors are our lifeline. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Jibreel alayhi salam told me so much of the rights of neighbors, that I actually thought he was going to make my neighbor my inheritor also. That all our inheritance, one of the shareholders would be our neighbors. So much. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, anything you preparing at home, add a little bit extra water, make the curry thinner, but send something for your neighbor. And he even said this much, Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. He said, a neighbor should never look down upon anything when it comes to sending for another neighbor. This has two aspects. If we have to send something for our neighbor, don't ever think this is too small. It's insignificant. And if our neighbor has to send anything to us, don't ever think it's too small, it's insignificant. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if it has to be one trotter of a sheep, just the trotter, just that small piece of the leg, just that part you have to send for your neighbor also, don't think it to be too little bit. Don't ever look down upon what we give to our neighbors. Sometimes it's a small gift. Many people mention to us, Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayhi, when people used to visit him, sometimes he used to give them a miswak as a hadiah. Sometimes he used to give them a big elderly man, 1 rand as a hadiah. 1 rand. 50 cents. Yeah. I got nothing. Here, I'm giving you something. And sometimes if Maulana had 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 rands, Maulana will give also. His heart was like that. But don't ever look down. It's too small, this seminar. How I can't give it. It's embarrassing. How can I give this here? No, by Allah, everything counts. Be good to your neighbor. And how good we must be, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned one incident. I'm not saying we have to implement this, but just to make us understand, he said there was a person who had rats in his house. A friend told him, why don't you get a cat? They'll chase the rats out. So he listened. A few weeks later, he again said, you know, I got rats, I don't know what to do. So a friend said, I told you, get a cat, they'll chase the rats out. So he said, no, I thought about it also. But I thought to myself, if I get a cat, these rats will run out of my house, where they'll go? They'll go to my neighbor's house. And I don't want to be the person causing my neighbor that kind of taklif. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, it is mentioned regarding him, or maybe it was Hassan Basri rahimahullah, that one day his neighbor came to visit him. He was a bit sick. So his neighbor noticed in his house, his neighbor was a fire worshipper. He noticed in his house that there was a terrible stench. He said, what's this here? So he said, there's some smell coming from somewhere in the house. He said, no man, speak the truth. What's happening here? So this neighbor used to live on top of him, he used to live downstairs. So he said, no, there's just some smell, don't worry about it. He said, no, I want to know what's the cause. He said, you see that wall there? From that wall the smell is coming. What actually happened was that the sewage pipe of this man was going through his house. And somewhere it broke. So the sewage of his house was filtering into the wall of Hassan Basri rahimahullah. And it could be smelt in the whole house. So the man said to him, but why didn't you tell me? So he said, because you're my neighbor, and Islam taught us we must be good to our neighbors. Actually, I'm mistaken. This was the great-grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainul Abidin rahimahullah. Or maybe it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandson, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. Maybe one of them. So it was somebody from the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, you're my neighbor. And my grandfather taught us that we must be good to our neighbors. This man said, if that's the beauty of Islam, I want to accept Islam right now. So many months you're going through taklif. For my sake, you never even tell me. This is being good to our neighbors. Make sure whatever difficulty they give us, just overlook. And don't ever make ghibat of our neighbors. That's the worst thing we can do to them. The next advice Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Love for others what you love for yourself. You will be a true believer. Iman, one of the important aspects of Iman is to make sure all others are safe from harm. So what you love for yourself, love for others. And on this here, I'll just mention one or two things. A person came to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahimahullah. They said that Maulana had a neighbor. This neighbor used to play very loud music and used to trouble Maulana a lot. Maulana got a lot of taklif through this neighbor here, but he never knew what to do. So finally, Maulana called an estate agent. He said, do me a favor, go to this neighbor of mine and but any amount he wants, I'm ready to buy that house. But I don't want to tell him I'm buying it from him. You go and ask him for the house. Because too much taklif with the music and the noise and all of the partying. So the man went, he asked him, he said, I want to buy your house from you. And at what amount you're ready to sell it? So he said, okay, I'm thinking about this amount here. But just wait a few days, I want to just think over the matter. So he came to ask Mashwara. Who he came to ask Mashwara from? From his neighbor. So he came to Maulana. Maulana wants to buy the house from him. He said, Sheikh, he's a Hindu man. He said, I want to sell this house here, which is next door. And I'm thinking of buying a property in so-and-so place. You think it's a good idea? So Maulana replied, he said, that in your situation, I think it would be better for your own interest that you keep this house here. That property won't bring you so much goodness like this one here. So now the estate agent came. He said, I send this man here. He got ready to sell the house. And he comes to you and you give him advice. So Marana said the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mustasharu mu'taman. When mashura is taken from us, we have to be amanadar, we have to be trustworthy. I couldn't tell him something which I don't believe in my own heart. I had to look at his interests, not my own interests. This is one way of looking at it. Another man, here in South Africa, he came to Mufti Ibrahim Salehji, Damat Barakato, and he mentioned his incident. I'm sharing it with everyone. My cousin told me this. He said that I'm having a lot of problems, a lot of family issues we're having, and we can't come to any conclusion, any solution. So much money Allah has given our family, so much money, I can buy out this and I can buy out that. So Mufti Sahib said, he said, normally it's a habit of rich men, they always like to teach people how much they're worth. I don't need to tell you, but you know, I'm worth so much. I don't need to tell you, but you know, people wonder how much money I got. So this is they want to show now, I got a lot. So this man said, Mufti Sahib, you know, I don't want to tell you, but you know, I own this and I own that, and you know, I'm moving in this amount of millions. So Mufti Sahib said, but so what's the problem? He said, you know, I have my family and this problem and these fights for inheritance. So that was one talk. Then after that he's speaking, he said, you know, let me tell you how we got rich, where we made our money from. He said, you see, my father, he was a very, very business-minded man. So what happened on one occasion, one man came to him. He said, you know, this property, a prime property, I'm thinking of buying it. I just came to ask you, Mashura, what you feel about it? So he said, that property, don't touch it. Don't touch it with the iron rod also. Stay far away. If you go there, you'll burn your fingers. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, that's not good for you. So the man, he decided, you know what, I got a good advice from a good businessman. So he went away. As soon as he dropped his claim, this man immediately went up, he bought the property and he split it between him and his sons. This was prime property, the value increased, rentals, most likely there was businesses which were set up around there, and he became a very rich man. So he's saying, you know, this is where we earn our money. My father was a businessman, so he managed to earn all of this money. See, love for others what you love for yourself. So Mufti Sahib said, this is the reason why you went through all of the problems. You want to know. That time you're complaining, this problem, your sons, this person, that person. You want to know where the problem came from? It came from here. That your father wasn't, and make shukr. He said, make shukr that the problem is only so small. If you have to go in akhirat, you can imagine what a problem is going to be like. This is what haram money does. But when our eyes become too big, and we don't look in the interests of other people, work in other people's interests, you'll see how Allah will work in our interests. This is the fourth advice. Love for others what you love for yourselves, you will be a true believer. The last advice, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضِّحْكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. And don't laugh too much, because laughing too much kills the heart. Now on this here, a few things we need to understand. One is that laughing is not prohibited in Islam. Our deen is not a deen which is dry. Our deen is an enjoyable and beautiful deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also sometimes said some humorous statements. He also made people around him laugh. But to make this an object of our life, and what I was saying, entertainment, when entertainment becomes the objective, now all the time comedies, we're listening to some comedian here, and we're going for some comedy show, and we're watching some comedy, and we just want to laugh all the time. We're reading joke books, and sometimes filthy, filthy jokes also. So when this happens, what happens? Our hearts die. Laughing has a place in Islam. Humor has a place in Islam. But it's not the objective of our life. We have to laugh also, we have to learn to cry also in front of Allah. We have to be light-hearted sometimes also, sometimes we have to become serious. This is important for a person's life, otherwise our hearts die. What happens when the hearts die, is at that time there we find no pleasure in ibadat. When the heart is dead, then at that time we'll commit sin and we won't even feel any guilty conscience about it. Where one reason, where it comes from this here. Laughing a lot is not haram. But look at what it leads to, how many harams it leads to, because the heart dies. So spiritually we are dead now. So one thing is this here, that don't make entertainment the objective of our life. Don't make all of this comedies and the sitcoms and all of this here one objective in our life. It's very harmful, it's going to kill the heart. And the second thing we have to learn, and this has happened over the last few years, we've been seeing many examples, and many times in our own conversations also, there are many, many things to joke about. But Allah's deen is not something we need to joke about. Sometimes in our environments, one joke we'll make about miswak. One joke we'll make about parada. We don't mean it. But it's a joke of kufr. A few years ago, we all will know that there was that one comedian and he made a terrible statement. His statement regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such, definitely would have put this man into kufr. His statement was derogatory to the core when he spoke about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his marriage with Aisha radiallahu anha. Absolute kufr. If somebody got any doubts regarding this marriage, then please come to us. Inshallah, we can explain very well. Inshallah, we got explanation reasons why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got married to Aisha radiallahu anha at that age. Many people who have doubts, you can come to us, inshallah, and we have answers. And the answers are there. It is in Islamic history. We understand why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did it. But that's not our subject of discussion. But that man made a derogatory statement. And in that there was kufr. He said such a terrible thing about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He accused the man of lying. Abu Huraira, we got half of our deen from this man. He said he was a liar. He used to fabricate a hadith. Now if you believe something like that, then what's the condition of your iman and Islam? Sometimes in our jokes also, we make one joke about God. We'll make one joke about the angels. We'll make one joke about Adam and Eve. We'll make one. These are not things to joke about. This is all part of our deen. Be very careful what we joke about. When we joke, there are millions of things to joke about. Don't make our deen the center point of joking. And the second thing is that when we joke, make sure we are not saying anything which will hurt the heart of another person. If we are saying such things, remember we are under the curses of Allah. This is a very dangerous thing. We say, amen, he can't take a joke. No, we say our wives, if she can't take a joke, man, I'm just telling her. We're breaking her heart, and then on the other hand, we're justifying ourselves. No, we're not supposed to make jokes which will hurt other people's hearts. If we have made a joke which hurts somebody's heart, we are sinful. It's our problem. So we have to learn this. This is something which we have to be very careful in. Look at our words. Watch our words. Allah has given us this tongue, and Allah has put all of these teeth as shutters around, so to say. Allah has sent policemen around our tongues, and all of them have come with their different weapons. And this squad here are guarding the tongue, and Allah has put two shutters, our two jaws, to close the mouth to make sure it doesn't say whatever it feels like saying. We don't open all of these shutters and move the policemen away and speak what we feel like. Because remember, when we speak what we feel like, it's going to hit us back somewhere. That's just saying words. And one thing also connected to this here, when we say words, be very careful we don't boast. In our talks, we see very common, say, you know me. Because I normally say this, you know me. This is the beginning to a whole big sin of ujb, of self-conceit. You know me means that I am something, I thought of something, I am very intelligent. One is we say, by the fadl of Allah, by the kindness of Allah. Allah has been so kind. But when we say, you know me, or me, I'm a person like this here, that me, that shows pride. It shows, I feel I am something. Allah, take it out from us this year. But what I was saying is, look at our words, watch our words. And if we watch our words, we will see how pleasurable life will become. We will only say that which makes Allah happy, and we will say that which makes other people's hearts happy. We will never ever indulge in joking, haram joking. We will never say a word which is against Allah's deen. Otherwise, when we see, very common, a person who's in this habit of joking sometimes, and what statements are made, what things are said, ayat of Quran are used sometimes, and a joke is made around the day, Allah help us, Allah protect us, Allah save us. Five advices, I'm just going to repeat this here again. Abstain from sin, you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah. Second advice, be content with what Allah has granted you. You will be the richest person. Third advice, be good to your neighbor, you will be a real Muslim. Fourth advice, love for others what you love for yourself, you will be a true believer, a true mu'min. And the fifth advice, don't laugh too much, because laughing too much kills the heart. Allah bless me with tawfiq, Allah bless us all with tawfiq. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening so attentively. Now may Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq of practicing even more attentively, inshallah. Passing on this message wherever we go home also. And when we go home, think, how can I implement this in my life? Start, make some small changes, inshallah. And you will see, like this year, we practice on these advices. Allah will bless us with happiness in this world, in the akhirah. Let's all make dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Oh my Allah, oh Allah, please forgive us. Oh Allah, please have mercy on us. Oh Allah, please wipe away our sins, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us tawfiq of changing our lives. Grant us tawfiq of becoming close to you and beloved to you. Save us from your displeasure, oh Allah, save us from your displeasure. Grant us your happiness, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, we are very weak and very useless, we falter at every step. Oh Allah, you are very kind and very merciful, oh Allah, you just help us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you lift us from the slump that we are in, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you pull us towards you and make us your special friends. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your love, oh Allah, fill our lives with taqwa, your obedience. Oh Allah, save us from disobeying you for a second. Save us from seeing any person beloved to us disobeying you for a second. Oh Allah, take the sins out of our life. It is poisoning our life and making our life miserable. Oh Allah, make us true Muslims, true mu'min. Oh Allah, make every one of us such that we love for others what we love for ourselves. Oh Allah, make our hearts big. Oh Allah, remove malice, jealousy, hatred from our hearts. Oh Allah, make us look at the good qualities of others and make us look at our own evils. Oh Allah, and don't make it the opposite way that we see the evils of others and we only look at our own good. Oh Allah, make us realize what our condition really is, oh Allah. Oh Allah, make us come to reality, oh Allah. Oh Allah, open our eyes to our faults and our weaknesses, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you out of your kindness to grant us tawfiq to be good to our neighbors. Oh Allah, to grant us qana'a. Allahumma qanni'na bima razaqtana wa barik lana fiha wa barik lana fi wa khluf ala kulli ghaibatin lana bi khair. Oh Allah, we ask you out of your kindness, out of your mercy to grant us qana'a. Oh Allah, you grant us tawakkul and trust on you. Oh Allah, make our rizq, our income halal. Oh Allah, make our hearts come alive with your remembrance. Oh Allah, we beg you out of your kindness to bless us with the goodness of this world and the goodness of Akhirah, to save us from all difficulties in the Qabr and on the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, we ask you out of your kindness to grant us tawfiq to follow your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we are very weak. Oh Allah, we have went very far away from your commands and from the Sunnah. Oh Allah, you draw us back, oh Allah. Oh Allah, don't allow us to leave this world without your ma'rifat, your recognition, your love, your closeness, your friendship. Oh Allah, establish salah in our life and in the life of our families and in the life of our community, in the life of every single Muslim throughout the four corners of the world, oh Allah. Oh Allah, bring salah alive in the ummah. Oh Allah, out of your kindness, spread hidayat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, to every baked and unbaked home, oh Allah, to every Muslim and non-Muslim. Oh Allah, give us a share also in this year, oh Allah. Make us, guide us and make us guides for mankind. Oh Allah, out of your kindness, guide the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever is going through any difficulties, oh Allah, remove their difficulties. Those people who are being oppressed, oh Allah, remove that oppression from them. Oh Allah, the oppressors, either give them hidayat, oh Allah, if hidayat is not written, destroy them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, make the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy with us and with the entire ummah. Oh Allah, unite our hearts, oh Allah, and create love in our hearts for one another. And oh Allah, most importantly, create love for you and for your commandments and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Oh Allah, what we have asked is only little. Oh Allah, there are many, many more needs of ours. Oh Allah, you fulfill, grant us what we have asked for. Grant us whatever we have heard. Oh Allah, grant us tawfiq to practice. And whatever has not been mentioned and whatever was not made dua for, oh Allah, which you know is beneficial and good for us, grant us that as well. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. One last thing Allah just put in my heart right now. I went to a certain area, so I encourage the brothers there, if you want to come out of sin, one very easy thing we can do, and Allah will draw us out of sin, every day read 2 rakat namaz. And after that namaz, just for this year, 2 rakat salatul haja, salatul tawbah. 2 rakat, I'm going to put my need in front of Allah and I'm going to ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Allah to draw us out of our sins. Admit our sins to Allah and ask Allah to take us out. We do this every day and we will see in a period of 4 months, inshallah. Allah in Quran says, who does this year makes tawbah like this year, Allah will change his bad habits into good habits. So Allah will change our bad habits into good habits, our bad inclinations into good inclinations, but do it. I came all the way from Joburg. I'm leaving you with this last advice. Please practice upon it. So one day I gave a bayan in Heidelberg. So I told the people that next year, 15th of Shaban, I'm not going to give the bayan unless somebody comes to tell me they practice on it. So next year, 15th of Shaban, I waited 1 year, not one person came to me. So I lost a little bit of courage. I went to another town. So I told the people, I came so far all the way here. Please practice on this one thing at least. So 1 year later, and I told them what happened in Heidelberg. I said, Heidelberg, I tried. They never come. No good news there was there. So two people came to me 1 year later. They said, Maulana, you came to our area, you gave this advice here. Alhamdulillah, for the last 1 year, I've been practicing on it every day. So inshallah, next time I come here, hopefully, a big portion of this masjid will come to tell me, Maulana, alhamdulillah, you know, you told us last time, we're practicing upon it every day, inshallah. May Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Jazakumullah khairan.